Hi everyone, welcome to Potluck Food Talks. Today I'm here with Adriano Mejia, someone with I've worked with, we've lived together, we've cooked, eaten together, so we've done a few things. Welcome Adriano, nice to have you here.
Hey Eric, what's up? How are you?
Good. So you've been quite around in the culinary world, especially in the Basque Country. And especially in the last years, I would say you've been in, I don't know, 4 or 5 restaurants in the last few years. So you've been moving around a lot. But let's start with the beginning. You're Ecuadorian originally, but you started cooking here in the Basque Country. How did that begin? How did you end up here? When did you start cooking for the first time and when professionally for the first time?
Yeah, I think you explained it very well. I've been fooling around many restaurants in the last years, but it goes all the way back when I was a small kid. I used to work a lot with my grandmother in her kitchen. I took her recipe books and I just started wiggling around trying to figure out some recipe she made. And I started since I was maybe 5 years old until I decided to study professionally, become a cook 10 years ago, where I arrived to San Sebastian, specifically in the Basque Country, to Basque Culinary Center to start a 4-year degree on cooking, well, in gastronomy. And then years in the Basque Culinary, I had to travel to different places to make some stage. The best memories I have are from Sweden, Fabiken in Åre. I don't know if you know about it.
Yes, of course. It's a legendary restaurant, Magnus Nilsson. Phil, the co-host of the show, has also worked there. And I remember he and I, we discovered that restaurant at the same time. It was on an Apicius magazine many years ago, and we were like, what is this? Who is this guy? What is he doing?
Yeah, it's crazy. Actually, just before I moved to San Sebastian in 2015, I believe, summer 2015, I saw on Chef's Table, Fabiken episode. It's amazing, and I fell in love with that restaurant. And at third year at the university, I had to choose one place to stash. And all my memories went back when I decided to start cooking professionally. And I was there for 4 months. Great place during summer. I was capable of doing all the fermentation processes because I was in summer. So they had like a full menu prepared for all the year. Everything they gather in summer, they pickled and some type of preservation so they can keep doing the menu in winter. And of course, all the produce we used there was top of the notch. Great people. I made some great friends there. I still in touch with them nowadays. One of them works at EMP, for example, Matia Ranca. And well, it was a great task in my.
So I want to know a few things about this place. I know that there is a lot of foraging if you work there. I know that there are like these specific shoes that they also use them in the restaurants of Christian Puglisi, that are these shoes that are both for garden and kitchen. And I know also that there is something very specific about the service, that all services are the same. It's like a choreography, like a theater. Okay? What can you share about that?
Yeah, so first, talking about foraging, I remember I was the person in charge of doing all the foraging. I was the apprentice of the vegetable section. So we have several different projects that we had to do during the week and during the day. And of course, during the year, because, for example, in summer, I had to collect moss. We dehydrate some so it can be used for the winter, and the fresh one we used during summer. So I remember they gave me the keys to a caddy, a Volkswagen caddy. And I just was going all the roads around town, trying to find some flowers, pine for some desserts. Also, I don't know if you know silage.
No idea.
Silage, is this like the fermented heno?
Whey.
Fermented hay, yeah.
Okay.
So it's like you go around these the streets and there are like these big black bags of silage and one with a red cross. So I had to go there, pick some silage that the head chef usually go before, smell it when it was perfect. I pick it and then we made ice cream from it.
I've tried that fermented hay ice cream. That stuff is amazing for me.
It's like, great.
It has like this nutty flavors. Super nice.
It's very complex because it's, I don't know, maybe a whole season it's there just sitting in the sun and the rainy nights. And it just gets this very complex aroma. And I don't know, before I was in Fabiken and I would never think about eating silage in my life. There are these Australian brand called Blundstone. And I remember when Fabiken accepted my stash with them, I received like an email with all the rules, going there and explain everything. And in uniform, it just said black pants and bloodstone boots. It was the only requirement. Then they give you the
whole uniform. So you have to buy them yourself. Okay.
Yeah. They don't give you. I mean, they're quite expensive for a student, but it was worth them. I still have them nowadays. I still use them.
The same ones you bought for that occasion.
Yeah. Then I bought several other models, but the same ones I started there, I think 8 years ago, I still have them and use them.
The choreography service, what about that?
It's a great impact because first I was into the production kitchen, which is like this huge barn. We have to know that Fabriken, it was run by Magnus Nilsson. Actually, it closed a year after I was there. But it was the Swedish family that has the project. It was a huge land. They had a lot of land that surrounded, and Fabriken was in the middle of there. So besides Fabriken, they had this butchery, and they have a pastry bakery as well, like a small restaurant. So there was an ecosystem around Fabriken. I started in the production kitchen. They have this line. They get fresh meat. They get whole animals. So there's the guy in the production that has to make every cut, place everything where it belongs. And after getting into the production kitchen, you enter the service kitchen. And there's this big rep clock. I don't know, it may be 1 meter, 30 centimeters. And there it goes exactly. Every day you start the same hour, same time. It's a choreography. Everyone, all the guests comes at the same time. They have a 30-minute gap between 6:30 and 7 p.m. And at 7, the first course starts. The head chef just starts at 6:53. 7 minutes for the first course. Everyone answers back, and then everything starts. You begin and finish every day at the same time.
That's crazy. So it works kind of like a banquet somehow.
Pretty much. It was actually two floors. In the first floor, you have this huge table. It was meant to seat 8 people. And then you had some people that can have the snacks outside or in the first floor. And after, I don't know, maybe 6 passes, some of the guests went up to the second floor where they have their own tables. There were 2 tops, 4 tops, like that. And 8 people stay down in the group table, which was much more fun, I can say, because you experience with other kind of people.
So then what happened then? We worked together at the opening of Labe Restaurant for a while. That was also crazy, the experience of opening a new place and planning everything from scratch. I was in the project only for the first 5 or 6 months. And then at some point you also took over as head chef over there.
Yeah, so actually, chronologically, after 1 year of that, we both started Digital Gastronomy Lab restaurant in San Sebastian, in Tabacalera. So I think we were working together for 6 months or 5 months in the development.
Exactly.
We worked together on the computer, not even...
Okay, like before the opening, I was working at least 1 year before the opening, like in the whole project management of the opening and everything.
And I remember we both put that project together. And after you left, I stayed at Head Chef, not for long, but maybe 8 months. I had a problem where I had to go back to Ecuador for a visa problem. So I was around 4 months in Ecuador, came back here. Coronavirus came in that time, so it was crazy, a lot of things happening. I don't know, it was a pretty young restaurant, maybe 6-8 months old. Coronavirus came, so we had to become delivery guys.
I had the delivery. I had your delivery while Corona, and I think back then it was the best delivery I've ever had, because that was before I tried David Munoz and Danny Garcia's delivery. But it's my top 3 for sure.
It was nice because we came up with a completely different idea of what delivery was at the time. Send everything cold so people can heat it up and finish the dishes. Of course, they had the time at that time because everyone was locked up. So we made some nice recipes. We started working with some nice producers, had a lot of relationships. And it was Ruben, who still works at Culinary, and me, driving around San Sebastian, doing the deliveries. Then I was in the kitchen, cooking, packing things. It was nice. I remember that like a nice moment in the conditions we were at Corona, of course.
Then I got lost in chronologically, because then you worked you worked at AMA's project and then at AMA, and like what was the order of the, of these things? Well, AMA,
yes.
AMA is like a super nice restaurant in Tolosa, which is a village also here in Gipuzkoa, like a half an hour train ride from San Sebastian. And the two great places that are in Tolosa, one is AMA, the other one is Casa Julian, which is a legendary grill place, world known for some, it has the best steak in the world. At that point, they were starting to expand, to open like more operations in different places. But again, Corona hit and all of the rules changed around.
Exactly. So I decided to finish my relationship with a live restaurant in October 2020, I believe. 2020. We'll go straight with AMA people to Enea, which was in Hotel Zenit in San Sebastian. At that time, I started living with you, actually. And the second wave of Corona came in. It was crazy. Those were some hard times, I believe.
Like you say, we live together, but I actually forgot about it because I would never see you at home.
Right.
You would arrive when I was already sleeping and leave before I woke up. So you were like a ghost. I would never see you.
Yeah, I have had some crazy experience in my cooking career, and maybe that moment in time was one of the craziest. Maybe I was 25. It was in a hotel. I could stay there sometimes. I live maybe four streets, but I'd rather stay sometimes in a bench just taking a nap than going home. That project started good. Started going pretty well. People liked it a lot. And I had to go to Tolosa because there was a guy who worked with them there that was leaving, and they asked me to go with them there. And I was in the previous AMA because right now it's a bigger restaurant in another place.
I have known the new one. I've been only to the original one.
Right. So I work in the original, and now they changed the location. And after that, it was been at last 2 years, also moving a little bit. I just had a small pass to Michelin star restaurant. And then I end up at Naru. I had a great relationship with the people there.
Which Michelin star? Amelia. You were at Amelia.
Amelia. Yes.
How was the experience there?
It was crazy. It was one of the other craziest experiences I had. I was there just for a couple of months, maybe 4 months. And then I had to go back to Ecuador again, personal stuff. And I came back just straight to Naru.
Naru is one of my favorite restaurants in San Sebastian. Like, they cook modern Basque. Also, as far as I know, they offer the best working conditions in the city. Like, chefs there work 8 hours a day. It's not like this crazy environment. As far as I know, like, what can you share about that?
Yeah, Naru was this place where people maybe three, four years ago were like pretty excited about getting to it. I remember when we were at Labe, all this thing, Naru opening the new location. I think it's 4 years old or five. Everyone was going crazy about going there. Now there's another place. It's not gastronomic, but I heard a lot of people looking forward for their conditions, which is the Social Hub. It is a great big hotel from Dutch people, I think.
Yeah, it's like a franchise. As far as I know, there are social hubs in most cities in Spain and Europe, yeah.
You cannot compare the what you're cooking and how you're learning to become a chef. And one, you're just doing like sandwiches and salads. So it depends on what you pursue, right?
Yeah, Naru has one of my favorite dishes, which is it pig's ear or pig's feet?
Pig's tail.
Pig's tail, like deboned, slowly cooked, like a pan fried, really crispy with carabineros. I mean, that shit is over the top. That's one of my favorite dishes ever. Yeah, yeah, super nice. And also this, how do you call them in English? This tier piece, the super micro piece that are super, they call it the vegetable caviar because it's so little. And you have to take it out by hand. And then if you have like a whole spoon of it, it's really like tasting vegetables in a Thai's way. It's super nice.
Yeah. I remember the best dish I had of, I think some people call them snap peas or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
But it was at Echevarri's because he makes it like, he saute them on the grill with their own smoked juice. It was like one small spoon, but I can remember till now, maybe from 8 years ago. But yeah, Naru, I think it's the best product restaurant in San Sebastian. They deliver it perfectly. They have the best product, working only in seasons as well. I was working with Inigo in the midsection, So the kitchen is divided in three sections. The head chef is Inigo Peña, the owner. And all the seasonal dishes go through his station. So whenever we had artichoke or squid, the teardrop peas, also truffle dishes in winter. So everything was in our section. It was nice. We never got bored.
Then you also worked at Narro has like a little brother restaurant called Suka, which is like Wagyu beef burger place. And they used to make also like super nice ice creams. They're not doing ice cream anymore, right?
Yeah. They're doing them.
Okay.
I ended at Narro. I went back to Ecuador again. So all the times I had like a small break to go back with my family.
Okay, but let's talk about that because that's also interesting. Like your father has like a pizzeria or some pizzerias, and you usually go there to help him out like with some of his operation processes, or what is it exactly?
So he started with his first restaurant maybe 2017. I was already 2 years studying in the Basque Country. He was an engineer for 35 years. And he decided to quit everything and get into the restaurant industry. And he opened his first place called Fatto a Mano. It was pizza and wine, the concept. And throughout the years, it has evolved, the idea, taking new concepts. And now he just opened the fourth Fatto a Mano. So he's running four places. Now also focus on pasta and more dishes, not just pizza. And he has a bistro, a French bistro, with another partner, and they've been running it for 5 years as well. When I had to go back to Ecuador because of the visa problem, I started 3 months the bistro, and then I came back, and now it's running by a head chef there, Sebastian, which is actually a pretty good place. And now last year I went there, and I just started doing my own pop-up events as well. So I just call maybe 8 people, 4 of them answer, maybe 2 want to do something with me. So I just organized some events. They're not cheap for the Ecuadorian prices, I guess. But people who have been there, they enjoy it a lot. Of course, it's only once in a year. So I've been doing more of them in this December and January. So people can sign up.
So I take this opportunity also to remind all of our listeners that Phil and I are planning to make a pop-up dinner here in San Sebastian. We won't reveal date and location yet, but we can say it's going to be some sort of Japanese profanity concept. So we will take traditional Japanese recipes and mix them with other cultures in a way that will offend all of the involved cultures.
Great. If you need hands, I'm up to.
That would be amazing. Of course. So and then you worked in Suka as head chef as well, like for a while, or what were you doing there?
Right, Suka. So I came back there, helped them open Suka, but it was a small amount of time as well, maybe just three months. We packed it that because I had another project. So I worked with them until maybe June. We made these amazing Wagyu burgers. The owners of the place own the cow, so it's just a very clean process. And they make also ice cream. Maybe before they had the much more fame, now it started a little bit slower, but it's pretty good.
Oh, okay, because that used to be my favorite ice cream in town. I didn't know they reopened the ice creams. That's great, great news.
They just reopened for summer, but they're doing fewer flavors than before. I just decided to open up one of my own projects I've been developing for the last years. It's a cheesecake place.
Like a cheesecake pastry shop, something like that, where you can get Basque cheesecakes and coffee.
The idea was one, of course, whenever someone makes the project, it never ends as you had the first time in mind. I wanted to open this on San Sebastian, and I had some problems with the ayuntamiento, with the...
The city hall.
The city hall, exactly.
Like permission-wise.
Exactly. Here is very strict, everything compared to Ecuador, of course. In Ecuador, you can do whatever you want.
Like all of Latin America, of course.
Exactly. So maybe the dimensions of the oven or the kilovatios or the oven, anything. Long story short, I ended up opening in Getaria.
Getaria is a village west from San Sebastian, like half an hour. It's a fisherman village. And for me, it's one of the best places to go to this fish grill houses. There is this world-known Elcano, which is one of the best restaurants in the world, where you can have like incredible grilled fish. also El Cano Chiqui, which is a little brother of El Cano. We were having lunch there last time with Adriano and a few friends. And then you have other places like Choco and Kaya, which are these other like little houses in the city. You, like from my perspective, you go there to eat grilled fish. That's what you do in Getaria. And drink chacolí. That's the main activity.
You just described it perfectly. So we encountered that summer, of course, a lot of people, a lot of tourism there. Of course, anything will work. People really like our product, but you described it perfectly before. People go to Italia thinking about grilled fish, some chacolí and some pinches with chacolí before having lunch or dinner.
So you saw an opportunity in opening like a dessert place to have like a nice dessert in that context.
Exactly. People really like it. It was a good coffee from Old Town Roasters in San Sebastian.
I have to say, before you go on, that Adriano's cheesecake is for sure among the best cheesecakes I've ever had. I would say the cheesecake at Ama is one of my favorites, the one that Adriano makes, and the one from our friend Jose Peláez, who has now like a startup that only operates in Colombia, in Medellin and Bogota, that it's called La Vasca. And I would say that's my top one. That cheesecake is fucking really good. It's incredible.
I actually was with Jose this week. We were talking about cheesecake and how our projects are doing. And yeah, his thing is crazy. Maybe we can do a collaboration, the three of the companies.
Yeah, sure.
And yeah, so I opened there, been working, and I decided to shut it down last Sunday. So ending September. I just want to really refocus the original focus of the project. I have some ideas in mind, some offers on the table. So we'll be reopening a new place, new concept very soon. I don't want to say any dates as well, but Queso will be doing some pretty cool stuff in the near future.
Queso is the name of the cheesecake shop.
That's it for this week's episode of Potluck Food Talks. If you like what we're doing, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok as Potluck Food Talks. The show airs every Monday.